It's Bomb Cyclone 2019. Drive safe out there, Denver.
Wait.
Here's the drive.
Stop. We gotta... Big Sexy, stop. Enough. The... It's done. We all survived it. You survived
What, the dropkicks?
The bomb cyclone.
The Dropkick Murphys.
Nobody survives the Dropkick Murphys. Tommy Nalen. D-Mac. You know, this St. Patrick's Day. Watch it be safe. Grab a designated driver. Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Actually, I'll be Irish that day. Forget Lithuania.
It's on Sunday this year.
Whichever.
I really do like music that sounds like this, by the way. Like, I actually, like really like it.
It's uplifting.
I like the upbeat part. I like the depressing part. It's all kind of depressing, but looking forward to St. Patrick's Day. Thank you to Coors Light. Oh, I got in so much trouble. Skip that story.
Hmm?
So you're watching some film today?
Hmm. Yes.
What were you saying?
Well, I was watching Center because I got pissed off. Two days later.
Yeah.
Delayed reaction.
All right. So
seeing Matt Paradis, Nikki Javala tweeted out a picture of Matt Paradis.
Looking very happy.
Happy. I don't know.
He's wearing a suit and smiling.
Yeah.
He's signing a $27 million contract.
Signing the contract here tomorrow at the press conference. So I was watching Connor McGovern, Garrett Bowles, Vaughn's effort on defense.
Mm-hmm.
This is week 17. Mm-hmm. It's a good place to start. Wasn't impressed with Garrett Bowles. His ability to tackle is very good. Connor McGovern.
So
I think he's a guard.
There's nothing personal here with you and Bowles, right? You don't know Garrett Bowles.
I don't know anybody on the team.
Okay.
I know no one.
So this is just simply...
Ed Donatello, there's a couple coaches I may know, but...
But this is purely from just watching film.
I watched a half of football, week 17.
Okay.
Just to gauge what Connor McGovern, now that Matt Paradis is not here, maybe that's what made me mad is...
Okay. Why is Paradis not here?
Why create two weaker positions by trying to lowball your center? And it just, Connor McGovern to me looks like a guard playing center. And that may not, people, all interior guys, they're all the same, interchangeable. No, I couldn't play left guard like Schlereth played. He couldn't play center like I played.
Why?
He'd look like a guard playing center. There's something about it, it's just the optics of it. I don't know why, because I've watched so much film over my life that you tend to look at a center completely different than a guard, completely different than a tackle.
What are you looking?
The size,
what are you looking at specifically?
The fluid nature of the position. He looks kind of robotic out there, whereas Matt Paradis is smooth about it.
Okay,
there's a smoothness about it. And I looked at Week 17. To be fair, I didn't want to watch the second half of the Texans game on. I wanted to see him after 5 or 6 weeks of playing center, to kind of give him a fair shot.
When you say fluid from a center, what movements are you talking about? And is it about going left and right equally well? Is it about doing something on the second level?
It's all of that.
Okay.
It's actually there's a lot of times when they're in shotgun and he doesn't even have his hand on the ball. As soon as he touches the ball, he snaps it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a play early in the game.
There's a rhythm,
and when you're on the road, if you do that, your tackles are screwed because they don't know when the hell the ball's going to be snapped. You have to be set over the ball because there's a rhythm because you can't hear the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be in silent.
Okay.
And as, 2013 Super Bowl should have been.
Mm-hmm.
John Fox didn't know there was going to be crowd noise.
Crazy.
Not Manny Ramirez's fault. I know that's out there for some bizarre reason. It's not Peyton Manning's fault. It's not Manny Ramirez's fault. Manny Ramirez thought Peyton was checking. He couldn't hear him. But there's little things to center and guard that I can't play guard. I'm just, I played as a rookie and I watched myself going, I don't look like a guard. I don't, not from
what,
a size
what
standpoint.
What didn't you have? What we know, like, Sting is absurdly strong, for example.
Right.
I mean, ridiculously
and guards
strong.
Guards generally will punch. They punch the D-tackle. I'm talking pass rush. Mm-hmm. And a guy comes into you, you punch him. Well, I'm not at center. There's really not a lot of room to punch. You snap in, and immediately the nose guard is on you, so your hands immediately fly up. And Connor McGovern, to me, doesn't seem to... His hands were all out of whack. And this is after a while of playing center in real games.
How many... So at BC, you played exclusively center?
All the time.
Eventually.
Whole time.
Okay.
First day there. I was supposed to be a linebacker.
Right. But you were moved right away.
But I learned...
And you were there for 5 years.
5 years. Four and a half.
So let's just think about how many reps that is. Pretty ridiculous,
back then,
right?
With Tom Coughlin?
How much was it? What are we talking about? Thousands, right?
Thousands and thousands.
Thousands.
Yes.
So if you're Connor McGovern and you've played guard, you haven't played center in college.
He's taken thousands and thousands at Missouri with the Broncos at guard.
How in the world could you expect him ever?
He's going to get hundreds now.
Right.
We're talking hundreds. By the time he takes the field.
Whereas Paradis has had
thousands.
Like, you just
at
can't,
Boise,
you can't catch up. It's impossible to catch up.
It is. So you're trying
to. It's not your fault.
It's the square peg round hole thing again. And my problem with the move is he's a guard. Why weaken right guard and center? Why not? I got pissed off because Matt Paradis should be the center. And Connor McGovern should be the right guard.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it should be. Now you're weakening the center position and the right guard position because now you have a right guard that's a tackle and you have a center that's a guard.
You know, they could have done this another way. So let me run this past you. What if you made a bigger commitment to Matt Paradis? What if you gave Matt Paradis 3 years, 27, like the Panthers just did?
Right.
Which actually was an offer Paradis was given
before,
by the Broncos and
before the
down.
Leg.
Okay. But you could have come back with that. I mean, you did one time. You could have done it again.
I'm sure he would have taken less than what I would assume he would take less to stay here.
So what if you made that a priority? You got a choice now at guard, really. You got Elijah Wilkinson and McGovern, but let's just say for the sake of argument, it's McGovern, right?
Right.
Okay. And Wilkinson goes back to maybe a swing guy. And we'll see with Leary's health anyway. I mean, that, you know, may be short-lived. By the way, Max Garcia did get signed by the Cardinals, I believe. Matt Garcia is actually gone.
I didn't think he was going to be even offered back here.
And at right tackle, instead of going out and breaking the bank for Juwan James, because you just paid some money to Matt Paradis, you just get Veldier back here for another year.
I think he'd be open to it.
1 year deal, something like that.
Outside of injuries, he played pretty well.
What's a better, in your opinion, a better offensive line? Let me go through it. You're stuck with Bowles.
Stuck. Bowles, Leary, Paradis, McGovern, Veldier.
Or
that
Bowles,
sounds like the
Bowles.
Line from last year. Bowles,
yeah,
Leary.
Yeah, it is.
Then you go on Bowles,
yes.
Leary, McGovern, Wilkerson,
Juwan James. What's better?
The first one. You stuck with Bowles, so you got to... That's there.
Right.
I mean, that's not getting any better.
Right.
I like the fact that you have a center playing center, a guard playing guard, and a tackle playing tackle.
So we didn't get better on the offensive line?
Not yet. There's still free agency. They still have money.
Mm-hmm.
But they get a lot of holes. D-tackle.
But we
tight
just,
end.
The Broncos just made this huge move. This is a big commitment. He's the highest paid right tackle in NFL history.
Right.
But the line didn't get better.
No.
Wow.
Not overall. I think it's an upgrade at right tackle.
And by the way, he's got to be a star at right tackle,
He's
got to be great at right tackle.
Great. He's playing next to another right tackle in your guard who's getting calls from the center who's actually a guard.
So already it's confusing, right?
It's confusing.
You didn't make things simple.
No.
Because you got into some crazy undervaluation, money game, insulting, whatever.
1 year versus 3 year. That's what it came down to. They offered 1 year. He wanted...
So
I don't blame Matt Paradis for leaving.
So if you know this, right? If this is obvious to you, and I've heard Stink, he says very similar type of things. If you... I don't get up that early, so I can't.
I don't know what he's saying. I don't know if we're on the same page or not.
You are. Take my word for it. And I'm going to guess Orlando probably feels relatively the same.
Yeah. Orlando's, he bounced around in Miami. They had him playing all over the place.
He did. He was a freaky athlete. He could really do it all. It was amazing. Did some special damage to golf carts, too. That's another story. If you guys know it, if it's that obvious, and you, when you were watching it, was it like that? Like, it's really obvious.
Couple plays.
You got to assume everybody at Dove Valley knows it, too. Like, the players. Right?
Right.
Okay. What does that do?
I bet Domitai knows.
What does that do to your chemistry when you all know things are a bit foobar?
From the offense?
Yeah.
The line standpoint?
Yeah. As a unit.
You have a new right tackle, so he has no idea what Matt Paradis is or was.
Okay.
And so for him, the right tackle, he doesn't know. It's all new. You have a new line coach, so he doesn't know how things were last year. He's watched the film. And he must have signed off on Connor McGovern's going to be the center.
Mm-hmm.
But he's, after coaching Pouncey in Pittsburgh, he's got to look at him and go, this is not what I'm used to. This right. doesn't look like a center. But chemistry-wise, they have plenty of time to, so everyone's on the same page.
How important is that?
Chemistry?
Yeah, offensive line.
It's important because I know it sucks when you get a new guard next to me as a center or a new tackle next to the guard. Because there's a communication thing there. There's a you're comfortable. Sometimes you go up to the line, you make false calls, so the D line doesn't pick things up. And there's angles, and they'll be doing some zone blocking. There's different type angles, and everybody takes it differently.
Will Joe Flacco sense it right away?
No, he has no idea. This is all brand new to him.
Doesn't matter.
No, as long as he can get the snap from the center, he doesn't care.
Okay, he'll just care when the he's getting plowed.
If it was Case Keenum there, he would know.
Okay.
He's going to know that. He probably felt it the whole time. And that poor bastard, I mean, and people hated him. We gave him $36 million. We're happy to get rid of him. Watch week 17, and you tell me if it was his fault. I know the quarterback, they make all the money. They do all the press conferences. They share. They get too much credit. They get too much blame. That dude, Peyton Manning couldn't do much back there. The guys he was throwing to, the injuries, the pressure he was constantly under, it wasn't really fair to him.
We will be airing the press conference live tomorrow, 10 a.m. Joe Flacco, Kareem Jackson, and Juwan James. 10 a.m.
I heard it's going to be a split press conference. The quarterback gets his own press conference.
The quarterback will have his own press conference.
Well, he's making equal money to both of them combined.
And Kareem Jackson, so Joe Flacco at 10 a.m., Kareem Jackson and Juwan James at 11:30. I'm just going to camp out, just hang out. We'll just be chill. That is kind of weird, though. Why not just do everybody at 11:30?
It's quarterback. A lot more questions. You know all the questions are going to be for Joe Flacco. If the three of them are there, what are you asking your right tackle? Got a lot of money, a lot of pressure?
Elway and Fangio would be with Flacco. What, Elway and Fangio won't be with Kareem Jackson and Juwan James? Who do they get?
Matt Russell? Mike Munchak?
Yeah, Munchak. I don't even know who the cornerback's coach is for the Broncos now. Who is the cornerback's coach? Well, I'll give you a dollar if you can name that one.
Corners?
Yeah, this year. I mean, they fired basically everybody, so.
Ed Donatell, maybe?
Take over the corners? I don't know, maybe. I mean, Ronaldo Hill!
Did I play with him?
Yeah, I think you did. Wait, he's not a defensive assistant? He's the cornerback's coach? Wow, Ronaldo Hill, yeah.
Safeties and corners.
Yeah, you must be.
I just missed him.
You must be tempted to go there. And, Here is John Elway with James Palmer. Now, you got to listen to this a little carefully. The first question is, why Why did you make the trade for Flacco to replace Keenum?
You know, we just felt Joe was a good fit for us. We really feel like Joe has a lot of football left in him. And Gary's with him 3 or 4 years ago in Baltimore and in the system, and was very successful with that. So, you know, we thought that with Joe, the availability and what the compensation was, that Joe was going to be a very good fit for us. You know, he's played under the center, and his arm strength is still great. He can still throw the ball downfield. And, you know, he's a guy that's won. Mm-hmm. He's proven he can win in this league and has a tremendous amount of experience. And so, you know, at 34 years old, thought he was just going into his prime. And so we're excited that Joe's here.
See, I'm 100% all in on that. That everything he just said makes sense to me.
Yeah, well, except for a bunch of facts.
Like?
Do you want me to point out the facts?
Go ahead.
The past 3 years, Joe Flacco was in the shotgun 73% of the time.
He's talking about Gary Kubiak. He's going back to when Kubes was there.
Okay.
In a similar offense now.
He's a winner. Was. Not the past, 3 years.
Backed by good defense.
Prime of his career, he's 34.
Quarterbacks. They don't get hit. Brady's 42.
He will be 42 at the beginning of the season.
Is that not your prime? He's right in the middle of his career then. He's got 11 out of 22 seasons left. He's got 11 seasons left. Mm-hmm. He's right in the middle. Mm-hmm. That's your prime. Do you think Peyton Manning would still be playing right now if not for the neck?
Peyton should have played one more year, by the way.
His arm was...
It doesn't matter. What was the plan after Peyton?
There was no plan B.
Yeah. Obviously. No, I tell you, Peyton Manning with the chicken wing he had would have been a better option than drafting Paxton Lynch and starting Trevor Siemian and picking up Mark Sanchez, trading for Mark Sanchez.
He's out there too.
He's available.
Sanchez.
All right, so Brock. You're into that.
Yes.
You agree with John on that.
You're not.
Yeah, because there were just some facts that were wrong.
He was referencing Kubiak in that offense. And plays
how many years ago was that?
Was that 14? 2014? I think.
Maybe. So we're talking about 5 years ago.
So what?
All right. More from John.
Well, you know, I think the key thing for quarterbacks coming out is they got to be going into a system and they got to be comfortable in the system that you're going to provide for them. You know, you look at these young guys coming out, they're a lot different because they play a lot more in shotgun. The game that they play is a lot different than that we used to play when we came out. So it's a little harder to evaluate what you're looking for coming out. But, you know, there's a lot of good athletes and a lot of good players coming out. So, again, getting in the right situation.
All right, I believe that 100%.
Again, he's admitting that he gets on Paxton Lynch.
No kidding.
He learned.
He's saying, we're going back to the way we used to do things.
When we came out.
When we feel comfortable.
1983.
Yeah, we're going back. We're throwing our cell phones away. we're putting on our shorty shorts. I'm in this for however much longer I am, and screw it. I'm done.
I'm done guessing.
Yeah, forget it.
Is it wrong?
No, it's actually not.
Because if you're admitting you don't know how to assess a college quarterback,
yeah,
you better get an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. Actually, I'm all in on what he said right there, because that's actually the truth. I tried. I don't know what these quarterbacks are anymore.
Right.
I don't understand college football
anymore.
Let
someone else break them in.
I'm 60-something years old. I've had a lot of success doing it my way. And I think it can still work. And by the way, it can still work. Now, you got to have a great defense, and you're probably not putting up 35 points a game, but you can still win. I do believe that.
I agree. I love what he's saying. It matches what
first part was a total lie. The second part was honest.
He's just massaged the facts.
Okay. Well,
he used facts that you're not looking at. Different facts.
Yeah. Okay. Alternative facts?
No.
Alternative truth?
No. Just older facts.
Right, because this is the argument, is John Elway a great GM or a terrible GM? And this is why I say he's the Tim Tebow of GMs.
Does he have to be great or terrible? Is it something in between?
That's right. That's Tebow land. Was Tebow a great quarterback or a terrible quarterback?
Terrible. There's no in between.
Why? Why was he terrible?
He was bad at throwing footballs.
Good. You win that argument. He was a great quarterback. He got victories. He figured out how to win. He was a great leader.
It was a defensive
victory.
And
then you can keep going back and forth like this.
No, there isn't much back and forth.
You literally could be doing this for years. Yeah.
Well, we're not drafting a quarterback anymore, so we have time to fill.
We're done. But that's why, John, if you want to say John's a great GM, there's plenty of evidence. AFC West titles, great weak, first 100
weak divisions,
games.
Brian Sanders guys the first couple years.
You're making the Tim Tebow argument.
No, I'm saying he's somewhere in between great and terrible. His greatest achievement was Peyton Manning, which brought in other players.
Yeah.
That maybe Peyton Manning recruited here, like Emmanuel Sanders.
Listen, I think we're on the same page here.
He still gets credit for any player that came because of Peyton Manning.
That's right. And then you look at the past 3 years, it's been a horror show.
Right. So and you balance it out, and it's average. It's in.
Right. So
you got a Super Bowl victory.
That's right. And a Super Bowl appearance.
The AFC West things mean nothing. It was a dog crap division a couple years ago. They were terrible.
He even gets credit for winning the AFC West when they went 8-8 with Tebow.
Which he didn't want to win.
No, he did not.
He was not very happy after every victory. Yeah.
The only difference is I'd have like isotoners on.
Oh, he's up in the bottom. He'd come down for those?
He got more enthusiastic as the year went on.
That's because the camera's on him. I figured that out. That's bad optics. You don't want to be booing a victory because you want the team to stink.
That being said, the concept I actually do like, and I think Broncos fans should like it too, because firing John Elway is not an option. Now,
no, there's no one to fire him.
There is, technically. But the day that he stepped up at the end of the season and announced Vance Joseph was fired, the headline that day right there was John Elway's not fired.
Right.
You know, that's a big story nobody really talked about. That's the moment where most GMs get blown out.
Right.
It's not just the coach. I mean, we're replacing a quarterback, not just one coach, like all the coaches. That's where GMs just, you know, see you later. John survived it. So fine. I actually like what John's doing. If he's going to go down swinging with what makes you the most comfortable in your job and then center everything around it. When he says college quarterbacks should be in a system that they're used to, comfortable with, he's right. The problem is none of them are used to this system that the Broncos are going to go to. None of them.
Stanford. Somewhat.
Maybe. We got the guy. We got Kevin Hogan then as a backup. You don't need to go find – if you're going to do anything, then fine. Daniel Jones, who comes from David Cutcliffe, who in that Duke system is kind of in that same thing. But you know what, Tom? Don't worry about it. Forget it. Just find a pro quarterback who's been doing it that's a backup already.
Right.
And just keep doing that for as long as John Elway's here. Because developing to think that Drew Locke is going to figure this out. You know, Paxton Lynch had never, like, taken a snap under center.
Yeah. And he ran 7 plays or 8 plays.
Well, that's what Billy Moose said.
But there's something about realizing mistakes for a proud man. And he realized it with Vance Joseph.
Right.
Paxton Lynch. He's correcting what he's learned, which is good.
When Peyton Manning was here,
he didn't really have any mistakes. If they were, they were covered up because you had Peyton Manning.
Right.
So now that he's gone, he's making mistakes on the job, and he's learning from it.
He's getting the time to fix his mistakes where everybody else around him gets fired.
But I think that's a mistake to just get rid. You need some continuity.
No doubt about it.
And you don't have it from ownership, so you got to have it from the next layer down. And I'm okay with that because if you get rid of John Elway, then you're blowing everything up, and the new guy's coming in. He's trading Vaughn. He's getting rid of Chris Harris Jr. He's going to get his guys in here. He's going to try to get what he can, and he'll think that he can get the next quarterback. And then he's going to break that dude in, and you don't know if he can play in the NFL. Nobody knows if any of these quarterbacks these days can do anything in the NFL.
So you know what, Tommy?
You're getting a college coach that's going to come in and run a college offense.
Right.
You get a college quarterback.
And the Broncos,
see how long that lasts.
The Broncos aren't going to do that.
Oh, no.
It could be a total disaster in Arizona.
It could be.
But they're a total dumpster fire now anyways. So, I mean, who cares? Tough for Larry Fitzgerald to sort of, you know.
Oh, gosh. I feel bad for that dude.
Like, battle through that, but.
Break another quarterback in.
He's probably got a nice house.
Guess.
We have.
He's had a nice house for a while.
We have some of the funniest. Well, he's coming back.
I know, but he's had a nice house for a long time. I'm sure he wants to win a Super Bowl.
We have
not be dumpster fire.
We have the funniest stats. A look at 65 Broncos players who got a performance payout for their play in 2018. This list is a riot. And we'll tell you why coming up next.
It's Bomb Cyclone 2019. Drive safe out there, Denver. Here's the drive.
D-Mac, Tommy Nalen, thanks for listening. Peyton D.T. Sanders took all the money, and the other guys just had to be cheap, okay? D-Mush. Scientists say opinion is the lowest form of human thought. Bless your heart. Keep it up. Thank you. Peyton demanded that Elway sign two big money receivers for over $30 million, so there was no salary cap money to sign any offensive talent. I don't know that. I've never heard that. People wanted to come here because of Peyton Manning. The Broncos decided, Tommy, to give big money to Emmanuel and Demaryius. You know, that was just a...
Yeah, but Peyton had a say in it and wanted them to be here and wanted them to sign him.
Well, DT was already here.
Manuel Sanders was in Pittsburgh.
Manuel, when he came here, was a bargain. It wasn't big money when he first came here. It was nothing.
If you look at the Colts teams, though, they were offensive driven. And outside of Freeney, I don't think many guys made money on the inside of the ball. And he got what he wanted for playmakers. Tight end, running back, receivers.
Got Dreesen here. Got Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
Got Stokey here.
He'll get what he wants, but you'd think Tom Brady would have the same type thing. And
it was pretty tough when you got Phillip Stoke,
Rivers.
And then they ditched Stoke for Welker. It's like, whoa. They could have, when you look back on it, there's no reason they couldn't have kept Stokely and Welker. I mean, that's basically what the Patriots have done. All right, this is a fun one. Players who got performance payouts from their play in 2018. What does this mean, Tom? Explain this to me.
It's based on number of plays and your salary. So if you're like Philip Lindsay and you're making nothing in NFL terms, the NFL, there's a pool there.
Oh, okay.
That they kind of make up for it. It's like a little bonus for playing time.
So this is
the more money you make, the less you get.
Gotcha. So this is from the NFL or from the Broncos?
NFL. It's a
the
pool.
NFL.
It's a pool.
Oh, all right.
All the
all
teams
right.
get this.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool then, right?
Yeah. It's a little.
This is like added stuff.
I bet Philip Lindsay had no idea.
Well, let's see what he got.
It was 200,000? 201?
Where is he? Philip Lindsay got an extra 200. Wow.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Maybe his agent may have said that he's going to get something, but he didn't know how much.
Like, he just woke up today and found out you just got 201,000.
He's probably thinking, my damn wrist, if I could have another game. That's another 30 grand.
The number one player was Connor McGovern, 445,424.
So probably played every snap and makes close to minimum last year.
So if you want to look at one guy who more or less outperformed what the expectation was,
right. It's
Connor McGovern.
Right. Based on salary and snaps.
So Connor McGovern had a hell of a season last year. What do you think about it?
Played every play for little pay, but they make up for it.
Nice.
This makes up for it.
Justin Simmons is second. Now, that's interesting because we think of Justin Simmons now as Boston College guy. That's right.
You thought my name was Tim, you know. We had him on our show.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Ouch.
Call me Tim Nalen.
Sorry.
It hurt me.
Sorry, dude. But he didn't blow you off like Flutie, though. I mean, it wasn't that bad.
He answered the call. Yeah. Flutie.
$408,952. Will Parks is third. Elijah Wilkinson, fourth. Matt LaCosse, from what I understand, a little help. Matt LaCosse is no longer a Bronco. Jeez, I just saw it.
Signed?
Yeah. Yep. Like while we were on the air.
Patriots.
He's with the Patriots. Wow, that's a great Patriots pickup. You may not be so familiar with Matt LaCosse. I doubt you are because you weren't paying a super ton of attention. But that dude is a really talented pass-catching tight end. Really talented. It's just like the Broncos just couldn't figure out how to get him the ball. But he had an unbelievable training camp. And look at that. The Patriots pickup. That is such a great Patriots pickup. You know, that's what the Patriots have done over the years. They pick up these guys at low cost that have absurd production for...
Well, they wait a couple years for them to mature a little bit, much like we're saying about backup quarterbacks.
Right, right.
That's kind of their MO.
Yep. That's a great pickup for the Patriots. The Broncos picked up A.J. Derby. He was drafted in the sixth round by the Patriots, and the Broncos gave the Patriots a fifth-round draft pick, and then they cut him. That's another one of the Broncos' tight end wasteland stories. Like, somehow in this league, A.J. Derby's value went up, which almost never happens, and then you just let him go. The tight ends and the Broncos, Tom, have been it's been a nightmare. Phillip Lindsay, 201,000, and then it kind of goes down the whole list, and you know you have fun, and you know naturally you think, well, who's at the bottom of this list? So we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? Hundreds of thousands of dollars for some of these guys. Phillip Lindsay, $200,000. Annie Janovich, $210,000. Number 65. You've got a friend in me, Chad Kelly, $354.
That's awesome.
$354 for Chad Kelly.
He earned that. The NFL doesn't forget anyone. He needs it for lawyers. Is that about an hour for a lawyer?
He's got Harvey Steinberg. $354
might get... That's 10 minutes.
That might get you an elevator ride.
He's got Harvey.
He's got Harvey.
All right. Yeah, that doesn't help much.
I love Harvey. Harvey's my man.
That's almost insulting.
$354. Ah, that's funny. That's one of the funnier things I've seen in a long time. I'm sure he could use the
it's
money.
It's weird. It's a weird. Well, I mean, what's a weird number?
Yeah, because I think he was on the field for one snap. I think he took a knee. So taking a knee in the NFL, playing one play in the NFL. Now think about it for a second, though. The value of that performance is pretty cool. Like, I take a knee, I get $354. I play one play in the NFL. One play in the NFL is worth $354, based on his current contract, obviously. But yeah, that's funny.
I wish I had this when I was a rookie. They didn't have, this is new. This was, I forget when this they started doing this.
Hysterical. They're changing some rules. We'll get to some rule changes in some other sports. I always love rule changes, and I love St. Patrick's Day. For a safe night out, grab a designated driver. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. D-Mac, Tom Nail, and Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's Bomb Cyclone 2019. Drive safe out there, Denver. Here's the drive.
Drive Reloaded comes up in about 15 minutes. Tommy Nalen unloads on Garrett Bowles. You did.
I didn't unload. I just watched game film. And
speaks the truth about Garrett Bowles. And you'll get a full amount of that at 6 o'clock. Let's check. You know what? I'm sorry I don't have this up right here. What's Susie you doing, Big Sexy? Where are we going with the Buffs and the Beavs? Really? Seriously, what grade are you in?
They still pound them?
Can't really? Them,
man. That's me.
Holy cow.
I've been growing up.
73-58 win. Nice job, Buffalo.
21 wins now? They got to win the conference tournament to get in, though.
Yes.
This is Pac-12 is...
soft.
They don't have... Washington's not even ranked right now, I don't think.
It doesn't matter. They're going to the tournament, but... the two teams going to the tournament right now are Washington and Arizona State, and that's it from the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Period. So the Buffs have to win.
Or lose in the championship and play well.
I think they got to win. I think they got to win the championship.
They were terrible yesterday. Got the win, but
they're going to play Washington tomorrow. Arizona State is playing UCLA tonight. Arizona's already been eliminated.
UCLA's bad.
They beat Stanford handily last night.
But it's a bad conference right now.
It's a bad conference with some really good players, including some really good players at CU. You know, CU's had a great run. They started off terrible, and then they went on a roll. So props
they're on a roll right now.
They are. Tad Boyle has them going the right way at the right time. Mm. You would think in a Power 5 conference, you get 22 wins, you go to the NCAA tournament. You know what?
Pac-12 in the past.
Pac-12 in the past is unbelievable, but it's just been rocky. It's tough in football, too, by the way.
Oh,
it's bad.
It's worse in football than basketball.
When you look at players out of the Pac-12, now the games look competitive because, you know, they're all playing each other.
Yeah. Well, 12 of the 22 wins that CU has are against Pac-12 teams.
Yeah.
Were they 22-10 right now?
I think CU could beat Washington, by the way. Washington, you know who the head coach of Washington is? No. It's a great story. The head coach of Washington is Mike Hopkins. Mike Hopkins was a player for Syracuse when I was a student. He was the coach in waiting behind Jim Boeheim for like 20 years. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
At some point, this guy is going to retire.
Yeah. No.
No. Like, Jim Boeheim just refused to retire. Jim Boeheim's going to be like 77 years old.
I don't think he's even aged. He looks the same.
He looks fine to me. He looks okay to me. His youngest son, by his second marriage, is now a freshman playing for him.
What's his name, Skippy or something?
Buddy.
Buddy. Skippy Buddy. Come here, buddy.
No, but can you imagine the torture of being like the assistant?
Yeah.
For 20 years. You know, you're getting the job. No, it's definitely going to be Mike. So it's definitely going to be you, Mike. It's going to be you.
Yeah.
And finally, he was just like, oh, my God, forget. I mean, you know.
It's not going
to
happen.
Goes to Washington. Gets as far away from as humanly possible. Anyhow, I think CU could actually win. So keep your eyes on that. Go Buffs. That'd be awesome. Syracuse is playing Duke tonight.
Mm.
Zion is back.
The return of Zion.
Zion is back in the mix.
For the people that think I should just stop playing in college and just focus on the NBA, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not really worried about that. Like, I'm just trying to be Zion and just play the game I love.
Nah, love it. College kids taking themselves in the third person. Nobody's paying him too much attention.
Just gonna be Zion.
I'm just gonna be Zion.
Well, Zion, college football players are doing that now. Bowl games,
dude. There is no, which is smart.
And Christian McCaffrey did it.
Smart.
I think he was one of the first ones to do it.
Smart.
Yeah.
Ed Oliver
playing
did
the Sun Bowl. What
for? What?
What? El Paso?
Right.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm pass on El Paso.
Right. National championship game? Okay. Let's have a conversation. Yeah,
Final Four?
Sure. ACC tournament? Why, Zion? I mean, for what purpose? For the love of Duke? I hope it was the best 5 months of your life. How is that class? What do you think they have to do at Duke to get Zion through enough to be eligible for the spring? What do you think that looks like at Duke?
You don't think he's going to class?
Jeez.
Come on. The microscope Duke's under right now, he's got to go to class.
I'm saying he probably goes, what is the class? I mean, how is
he? Does it matter?
I mean,
it's Duke. They don't have basket weaving at Duke.
Can Lori Loughlin help him out too?
Paid to get Zion in there.
No, Zion earned it. Zion earned his admission.
Krzyzewski didn't have to hide him on the roster.
No,
he played high school basketball.
He stood out. Although, if I look deeper on the bench, I might see.
You're just telling Zion not to play because of they're playing Syracuse.
I'm telling you. Well, could be.
You don't want him to play.
I'm saying I'm looking deeper on that bench, and there's a kid deep on that bench that does look like William H. Mason. I'm not going to lie. There's a
no. The trick with them is they get them in on the whatever team, but then they never show up.
Right.
Because they've never done.
Did
it
you hear
before.
What they were really doing? They were like posing the kids as at like they were faking pictures of
on the crew
kids.
Team.
Right.
Put the girl's face on the crew team.
Right. Right.
It's pretty funny.
I started laughing at
it's
that.
Brilliant.
Because
the internet's good for that stuff.
They had to prove that the kid had crewed. By the way, I hear people say rowed, which makes me funny. Like, this is like a rowboat out there. Like, there's a rowing sport.
They call them rowers.
Do they?
I think so.
Okay, you could be right.
They have it, they do.
They were putting them in the whole thing is ridiculous.
It's deserved. I love it.
It is funny.
And that particular
it's a great
girl
story.
Has brought it upon herself
by
her attitude going to college. USC's a hard school to get into.
Very hard school. Very hard school to get into. But I understand.
And she's a dong.
I understand there are openings at Pasadena Community College. So.
Would she get in?
Yeah.
Are they going to have to pay?
I think she can afford the $1,700 a year in tuition.
Will they let her in?
At Pasadena CC? Oh, yeah.
Okay. College isn't for everybody. Maybe this is one of those cases.
Zion doesn't understand anything. There's no way Zion should be playing.
Why?
Oh my God, he just has way too much on the line financially. It's ridiculous.
He's gonna get it either way. You don't think so?
Not if the injuries. Not if you blow something out, man. Not if you blow something out.
He'll be. Knicks won't take him number one if he tears an ACL. Just sets the process back a year.
You see the Knicks like out battling the Suns for that.
The Suns are screwing themselves. What are they doing? They don't even know how to tank. I don't know what they're doing. There's no plan there. See, you can tank in those sports. You can't tank in football.
There's no doubt about it. It's easy to tank in those sports.
Yeah. Which is why the lottery is what it is now.
Yeah.
Because teams are tanking and.
Baseball, do you like three batters per relief pitcher, which basically minimizes the lefty-only specialist?
Nah. No.
Do you like the expansions of rosters to minimize the amount of times a position player can pitch?
No, I like that. It's gimmicky. I want to see a second baseman throwing.
Do you like...
What's he got?
Do you like
it's 19-2.
A proposal that the shortstop has to stay on the left side of second base?
Oh, taking away the shift?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't like that. They need to learn how to bunt.
All right. And on those progressive notes, Tommy, we'll see you tomorrow. Big
knows.
Sexy. Way to go. Kyle Berry, you're the man. The Drive Reloaded. Tom's going to unload on Garrett Bowles. You got to hear this. Stick around.